This is Audiophile Magazine, providing news and reviews of recent releases of audiobooks. I'm Sandy Henschel. Hello and welcome to today's readings of selections from the December-January issue of Audiophile Magazine. On today's program, we'll have reviews in biography, memoir, and history. You'll hear a review of Julie Andrews reading her latest memoir, Homework, a memoir of her Hollywood years. We have a review of Patti Smith reading her own memoir, Year of the Monkey, written in her inimitable musical style. And then we have an interview with author Tim O'Brien and a review of Dad's Maybe book, written and read by O'Brien. Let's get right to it. Our first review today is an Earphones winner, and as you know, Audiophile awards earphones to truly exceptional presentations that are exceptional in all the following criterias: narrative voice and style, vocal characterizations, enhancement of the text, and appropriateness for the audio format. Our first review today is Dancing with Bees, A Journey Back to Nature. It's written by Bridget Strawbridge Howard, and it's read by the author, and it is an Earphones winner. The author narrates this work in a slow, warm, mellifluous tone that, were this a scientific treatise on the native of bees of the British Isles, would be sleep-inducing at best. But listeners will quickly discern that this is a love story that begins with bees in the backyard and spreads to a wide array of native fauna and flora. One does not have to be a trained naturalist to appreciate the author's point about the critical need for preserving native species, especially pollinators, which are at the heart of our ecosystem. Her lyrical prose translates well to audio and comes across as more of a freestyle tone poem than a chronicle of her growing awareness of the natural world around her. Richard C. Gottschall wrote that review of Dancing with Bees, A Journey Back to Nature, an Earphones winner, written and read by Bridget Strawbridge Howard. It's available from Chelsea Green Publishing for 12.5 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review is Homework, a memoir of my Hollywood years. It's written by Julie Andrews and Emma Walton Hamilton, and it's read by Julie Andrews. Following her best-selling memoir, Home, Julie Andrews, along with her daughter, Emma Walton Hamilton, have put together an elegant memoir of Andrews' Hollywood years. In that charming, familiar voice, Andrews fills in the years between 1963 and 1986, recounting her arrival in Hollywood, her marriage to designer Tony Walton, its eventual end, and her astronomical rise to stardom in Mary Poppins and The Sound of Music. Delivering many of her insightful diary entries, Andrews sounds sincerely amazed and delighted. She married producer Blake Edwards, who directed Victor Victoria, a marriage that lasted 41 years until his death. Andrews acknowledges her gifts, but she attributes most of her success to luck. We're the lucky ones to have Andrews and this audio gem. That review by yours truly, Sandy Henschel, is of Homework, a memoir of my Hollywood years, by Julie Andrews and Emma Walton Hamilton. It's read by Julie Andrews, and it's available from Hachette Audio for 13.5 hours of unabridged listening. Our next review today is Here We Are, American Dreams, American Nightmares. It's written by Arti Namdev Shahani, and it's read by the author. This is simply a beautiful, moving memoir, read exceptionally well by Shahani, a reporter for NPR. She shares her family's story of moving to the U.S. from Casablanca when she was a baby. Her father spoke 5 languages, but initially could only find menial labor while living in near squalor in New York City. Eventually, the family finds success, but it all comes crashing down when her father gets caught up in a money laundering scheme. He serves time in jail, putting the family's immigration status in peril. Shahani does a wonderful job telling her family's story, including seamlessly shifting between English and the multiple languages her family speaks. This is a gripping memoir of struggle, hardship, family strife, and, in the end, achieving the American dream. Jonathan Smith wrote that review of Here We Are, American Dreams, American Nightmares. It's by Arti Namdev Shahani, read by the author, and it's available from Macmillan Audio for 9.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have The Ungrateful Refugee, What Immigrants Never Tell You. It's written and read by Dina Nayiri. The Iranian-American novelist's quick, steady pace creates an adventurous narration as she asks pivotal questions about what it means to be a refugee. Nayiri also explores what it means to call a place home. Her words and tone are filled with contrasting levels of discomfort and youthfulness that underscore the trauma of the experiences she describes and their long-term effect on her. Without question, the emotion in her voice shapes her natural storytelling ability. Nayiri interweaves her own experiences and the stories of other refugees of varying ages. She decisively writes about a community of people, dispelling myths and stereotypes, as well as offering awarenesses and personal truths not often shared publicly. That review was written by Tracy Curry of The Ungrateful Refugees. What Immigrants Never Tell You by Dina Nayiri, read by the author. It's available from Dreamscape for 10.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have How We Fight for Our Lives by Saeed Jones, narrated by the author. Listeners gain an intimate sense of Saeed Jones's life through vignettes he presents with grace, compassion, and ferocity. His poetic memoir was born when he turned to writing to heal in the aftermath of an assault, and it centers around struggling as a young, Black, and gay boy in the South. He and his mother were close, and when she dies, his anguish is palpable. Jones narrates unflinchingly through early curiosity about his sexuality, homophobia from family and community, and damaging sexual encounters. While he's skilled at creating voices for everyone in his audiobook, certain voices, taunting, slurs, crazed declarations of violence, are particularly chilling. Through his dynamic narration, listeners will feel as though they are sharing intense confidences and moments of joy with a close friend. Emily Conley wrote that review of How We Fight for Our Lives. It's written and read by Saeed Jones. It's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 5.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have The Year of the Monkey. It's by Patti Smith, read by Patti Smith. Her best days as a punk rock priestess may be behind her, but even at age 70, Patti Smith is still a working class hero, asking questions about life, love, and dreams. And since no one else can do justice to her words, Smith narrates her latest audiobook herself. Even if her performance sometimes sounds a bit flat, almost disaffected, it seems appropriate considering her particular musical style. She delivers wry observations of her contemporary life, hers and the nation's. Her observations, imagery, and iconic non-rhyming poetry can best be appreciated when delivered by the artist herself. The memoir is a little bit of a lot of things, all tied up in a stream of consciousness trip across the country and across her own life as she enters her septuagenarian years. Michael San Giacomo wrote that review of Year of the Monkey, written and read by Patti Smith. It's available from Random House Audio for 3.75 hours of unabridged listening. And this is a reminder that you are listening to the December-January issue of Audiophile Magazine. It's the magazine that wants you to discover the world of audiobooks. Okay, we'll leave our reviews in history, memoir, and biography for a minute, and we will hear from Tim O'Brien. Two-time National Book Award-winning novelist Tim O'Brien published his remembrances on his Vietnam War experiences as a young man in The Things They Carried and Going After Cacciato. However, he came to fatherhood late in life, and at the age of 57, he and his wife had a son. A second son followed soon after. O'Brien knew his time with the boys might be shorter than most fathers, so he decided to leave behind remembrances, advice, and reporting on some of the antics they might forget as they grow older. When you get to be that old, the realities start to set in, not just for me, but for my kids as well. There was a point at which one of them came crying to me night after night and said, "You have gray hair, and you're deaf, and you're old." He'd realized that the other fathers and sons he was familiar with were more than a generation younger than I am, and he said, "I don't want to be alone." And I couldn't lie to him, so I just had to say, "Yeah, I know. We'll spend as much time together as we possibly can." It's not a morbid thought to me. It's a beautiful thought in a way. I wish my dad had left me some messages in a bottle. I would have been incredibly grateful because he was always a mystery to me. Dad's Maybe book took 15 years to write, but when it came time to record the audiobook version, O'Brien said thanks, but no thanks. I'm not an actor, not a public performer, and I said they should hire someone like Bryan Cranston, who had recorded The Things They Carried. But they convinced me after a couple of weeks that because of the nature of the book, first person and nonfiction, that it would be strange not to have the author read it. So I agreed to do it. I can't say that I enjoyed it. It was much harder than I thought it would be, but ultimately satisfying. O'Brien says the intense focus on language and memories revisited made some passages challenging to record. He says narrating is unique. You put in emphasis where your brain puts it in when you're reading to yourself. Certain rhythms get accentuated and volume gets turned up a little if the passage is a passionate one, and all these sorts of things I just take for granted when I'm reading in print. He did mark up the copy, he says, putting notes in the margin, but mostly he trusted his intuition, just like he does when writing a novel. "I don't outline. I let the language take me, and I follow my own words." He says he tried to read it as conversationally as I could, not as an orator or a Shakespearean actor. O'Brien labors over public speaking engagements and says there's a big difference when he steps into the recording booth. When you're speaking in public, you get a response. People laugh at the funny parts and they tear up at the sad parts, and you can tell if they're paying attention. When you're in the booth, there's zero coming back at you. It's a different experience. O'Brien says the recording process made some passages that were emotionally charged challenging to finish. There were places where I'd just stop reading because I was so choked up. We were vacationing in France, and there was a day when I had a phone call telling me my mother had died, and the kids were playing ping pong. I told them, and they didn't say much, and I didn't say much, and for the next couple of hours I played ping pong with them pretty silently. Around dusk, we were walking to a place to eat in town. We were going down this hill, and I was holding the hand of my older son, who was then 8 or 9, and I said, "Are you thinking about Grandma?" And he said, "No, I'm thinking about you, thinking about Grandma." O'Brien marveled at the linguistic sophistication of the sentence and the level of empathy of such a young person. It must have taken me 5 takes. O'Brien hopes the book may inspire other fathers to make stronger connections with their sons. We block out the obvious, and I guess in some ways that's healthy, but in other ways it's human that we have this gift of consciousness, and it's a blessing. Randy O'Brien conducted that interview talking with Tim O'Brien, and here's a review of Dad's Maybe book, written and read by O'Brien. This audiobook is a memoir, a tribute, and a collection of advice by a 50-year-old first-time father who knows he loves his children and wants to be there, if not physically, then spiritually, as a wise guide throughout life's challenges. Best-selling author Tim O'Brien, The Things They Carried, narrates with a gravelly delivery and a tone of love and hope for his sons, knowing the struggles he had with his father and the special meaning of that relationship for boys. O'Brien uses judicious pacing and a comic tone to share the wisdom, love, and a list of books for the boys to read. He also provides insight into his life as a writer. We are all the better for getting to know the thoughts and experiences of this eclectic author in his own voice. Randy O'Brien wrote that review of Dad's Maybe book, written and read by Tim O'Brien. It's available from Houghton Mifflin for 10.75 hours of unabridged listening. All right, we're going to continue now with our reviews in history and biography and memoir, and we have one entitled Sudden Courage. Youth in France Confront the Germans, 1940 to 1945. It's by Ronald C. Rossbottom, and it's an Earphones winner read by Mitchell David Axtell. The story of French opposition to the German occupation in World War II has been many times told, but this audiobook history of the role of youthful resistors, teens, young adults, even children, many of them girls and young women, puts the focus on those who were most idealistic and committed, and often the most daring. Narrator Michael David Axtell keeps a steady, active pace. His delivery is expressive and empathetic, and he maintains dramatic tension without dramatizing. The narrative itself is episodic, moving chronologically from stage to stage in the occupation, and from one individual or group to another. Their stories are remarkable, often stirring and exciting, but just as often, heartbreaking. David Walton wrote that review of Sudden Courage, Youth in France Confront the Germans, 1940 to 1945. It's written by Ronald C. Rossbottom, and it's an Earphones winner read by Michael David Axtell. It's available from Harper Audio for 10 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have The Crowded Hour, Theodore Roosevelt, The Rough Riders, and The Dawn of the American Century by Clay Risen, read by Fred Sanders. Narrator Fred Sanders makes the audiobook welcoming for both casual listeners who are interested in one of the adventures that set this country on its path to becoming a world power, and those who seek an in-depth look at Theodore Roosevelt and the Spanish-American War. Sanders delivers the work with an authoritative tone and what can only be called an even keel, moving through the audiobook without varying his straightforward approach. While his voice is not crystal clear, he pauses effectively to keep the story interesting, pronounces the Spanish words with an appropriate accent, and paces himself well. Robert I. Grundfest wrote that review of The Crowded Hour. Theodore Roosevelt, The Rough Riders, and The Dawn of the American Century. It's written by Clay Ryson, read by Fred Sanders, and it's available from Simon & Schuster Audio for 12.75 hours of unabridged listening. Next in history, biography, and memoir, we have Our Crowd, The Great Jewish Families of New York by Stephen Birmingham, read by Mel Foster. Narrator Mel Foster enthusiastically delivers this history of New York German Jewish merchant banking families, including the Seligmans, the Lehmans, and the Goldmans, which were originally published in 1967. A rich atmospheric picture of this close-knit, family-centered society, later known as the 100, or Our Crowd, is evoked by Foster's warm tone and conversational pacing. Listeners are transported to the early 19th century as Foster portrays the humble origins of several ambitious young Jewish men who emigrated from Germany and, along with their male relations, peddled goods all over America. Touches of humor come through in Foster's rendering of the practices and routines of these businessmen and their socially conscious wives. An evocative portrait of a segment of American society, well told and narrated. Michelle Ritholtz wrote that review of Our Crowd, The Great Jewish Families of New York by Stephen Birmingham. It's read by Mel Foster, and it's available from Brilliance Audio for 20 hours unabridged. Next, we have Conviction, the murder trial that powered Thurgood Marshall's fight for civil rights. It's written by Denver Nix and John Nix, and it's an Earphones winner, read by Ron Butler. This audiobook combines a superb performance with content so compelling that it becomes a must-listen. Narrator Ron Butler's perfect delivery allows listeners to stay focused on Thurgood Marshall's defense of Willie D. Lyons, an African-American wrongly convicted of a gruesome triple murder in Oklahoma in 1939. The authors chronicle the murder, the trial, and Marshall's unsuccessful effort to have the Supreme Court reverse an obviously unjust conviction. Butler perfectly captures Lyons's and Marshall's personas and the impact this trial had on each man and the nation, pacing the delivery and using inflection to highlight a series of crucial events. This extraordinary audiobook has lessons that resonate as strongly now as they did 80 years ago. Daniel J. Siegel wrote that review of Conviction, the murder trial that powered Thurgood Marshall's fight for civil rights. It's by Denver Nix and John Nix, read by Ron Butler, and it's available from Blackstone Audio for 6.5 hours of unabridged listening. Next, we have The Ghosts of Eden Park, The Bootleg King, The Women Who Pursued Him, and The Murder That Shocked Jazz Age America. It's written by Karen Abbott, and it's read by Cassandra Campbell and Rob Shapiro. Narrating alternate sections, Cassandra Campbell and Rob Shapiro take listeners inside speakeasies, criminal enterprises, and government corruption. With information from newspapers, archival documents, and trial records, Karen Abbott has assembled a true story that sounds like a novel. The Jazz Age in America featured flamboyant characters, and the story of George Remus, a lawyer turned bootlegger, is among its most colorful. Thanks to Prohibition, Remus amassed an astounding fortune that took pleasure in his wife's excessive spending and speculated in real estate. He threw Gatsby-esque parties. Bribing officials and befriending politicians left him feeling above the law. Enter U.S. Attorney Mabel Willebrandt, who was committed to ending Remus's lawlessness. Campbell's expertise and Shapiro's intelligent delivery detail Remus's meteoric rise an even more spectacular fall. That review, by yours truly, Sandy Henschel, is of The Ghosts of Eden Park, The Bootleg King, The Women Who Pursued Him, and The Murder That Shocked Jazz Age America. It's written by Karen Abbott, and it's read by Cassandra Campbell and Rob Shapiro. It's available from Random House Audio for 11.25 hours, unabridged. Finally today, we have Gods of the Upper Air by Charles King, read by January Lavoie. This timely group biography of immigrant France Boas, a professor at Columbia University's first anthropology department, and his circle of misfits and dissenters, which included Margaret Mead, Ruth Benedict, Zora Neale Hurston, and others. Narrator January Lavoie, who is equally adept at narrating thrillers and historical fiction, brings out the humanity in these scholars, showing how their experiences in the field and in life influence their research. It's no coincidence that each, an outsider in some way, felt less beholden to the status quo. The result was a new theory of cultural relativism with common humanity rather than race or culture as the glue between peoples. Listeners will be fascinated to hear these stories and moved by the courage that this band of explorers displayed. Lorraine Shanley wrote that review of Gods of the Upper Air. It's written by Charles King, read by January Lavoie, and it's available from Random House Audio for 13.5 hours of unabridged listening. That's our show for today, but I hope you'll plan to tune in next time when we have a listening with artist Owen Gildersleeve. And then we'll follow that with reviews in young adult listening. Although specifically targeted for the young adult crowd, these audiobooks appeal to adults as well. Decide for yourself after you hear reviews of Earphones winners Frankly in Love by David Yoon, read by Raymond J. Lee, Loki, Where Mischief Lies, Loki Series, Book 1 by Mackenzie Lee, and The Secret of the Commonwealth, The Book of Dust, Volume 2 by Philip Pullman, read by Michael Sheen. So until next time, thanks for listening. This has been Audiophile Magazine from WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Audiophile is also available online at www.audiophilemagazine.com. The audio producer for this show is Maureen Rich, and I'm Sandy Henschel. For more information on any of the books you've heard about today, contact your local library, Library for the Blind, or your favorite local bookstore. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show at our website, wxxi.org.